This is Good News Hour, the program wholly dedicated to the Word of God. Your speaker is Evangelist John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And you will perhaps recall that in one of our previous broadcasts, we sought to give an answer from the Scriptures to three questions that were directed to us. And I shall once again put these before you, though we have already answered question number one and shall proceed from that point. However, the three questions were, is it possible to be saved here and now and know it? The second question was, how can salvation be obtained? And the third question, can one truly saved in God's way ever be lost? Now, we answered from the Word of God the first question, is it possible to be saved here and now? And we cited many precious scriptures from the Word of God that support the fact that one may be saved here and now, and this upon divine authority and instantaneously, the moment that man, that woman, that person puts his or her faith in the merits of the work and the worth of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Receiving him produces salvation. In fact, the word saved is used again and again, as you have it in Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess to thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. However, we're going to proceed now with question number two. How then can salvation be obtained? Now, since it's such an important question, such an all-important question, we dare not trust to what men and women believe. We must rely wholly and solely upon what the Word of God has to say. You see, it's of vital and eternal importance because it concerns our soul and our soul's salvation. And you may be interested, too, to know that only once in the question, or in the Word of God, that question is asked, what must I do to be saved? And we there have a definite and a direct answer. You will recall, perhaps, that Paul and Silas were apprehended because of the offense was they were preaching the gospel. They were telling men and women how they could be saved, how they could have everlasting life. And as a result, they were apprehended, they were imprisoned, their feet fast in the stocks. And so they spent that night not in pitying themselves and say, well, this is surely a streak of bad luck to men that are telling out the best message that ever fell upon mortals' ears. No, they spent that evening doing likely what none of us would do. They were singing praises to God, and they were spending their time in prayer. And in a miraculous way, God moved in their behalf and sent a great earthquake, and the prison doors were opened, and every man's bands were loosed, so that, in reality, they could have walked out had they desired to do so. However, the jailer sprang to his feet, and at midnight, now notice it was midnight, and he rushed in, and he fain would have taken his own life if the prisoners had escaped. But Paul and Silas assured him that not one of the prisoners had fled. And then he asks a very important question. And if you have never asked it, oh, I trust that you'll be asking it today. And if you haven't, I trust that you'll be seeking the answer at any rate, because you see, the heart indeed does go out and has feelings after the God of heaven, because we are creatures, as we so frequently stress, creatures not merely of time, but creatures of eternity, and must have dealings with the Most High God, either in time or in eternity. And so when the prisoner comes in, he meets these two men, and he takes them out, he brings them out, and said, sirs, now notice the question, what must I do to be saved? He was interested in one person only, that was in person number one, interested in himself. And he was unlike another man that we have in the Word of God. He said, Lord, are there be few that be saved? He was interested, apparently, in others, but unconcerned about himself, as many people are. However, the jailer was interested in himself and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now we're going to get the answer from the Word of God. And by the way, I take it, in reading the text, that they answered in unison, for it says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Is that not simple? And is that not sublime too? And we so often say, how unlike the complex schemes of man, God's easy, artless, and unencumbered plan. Salvation so easy, salvation so simple. And the question then was answered. It was a very, very personal question and one of eternal concern. And the jailer was given a direct answer. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They did not say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you might be saved. They did not say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt feel saved. They simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. How wonderful, how precious, and how sublime. Now shall we proceed further to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And I tell you why I'm referring to this and to one more, I hope to, if we can work it in. I feel reasonably sure that we will be able. You see, the Word of God says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so we're going to bring some witnesses upon the scene and allow them to answer this important question and see just exactly now, since question number two is, how can salvation be obtained? You see, the man's ideas and notions are legion, but God has one answer, yes, and a simple answer. Men and women are saved on the easiest and on the simplest possible terms. Now, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we shall read together at verse 19, which says, therefore it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and shall bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And certainly he does when it comes to a matter of how men and women really and truly get saved, as we shall see proceeding just a little bit further on. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, now get this, to save them that believed. Oh, says someone, I couldn't think it would be possible for a man or a woman to be saved by simply believing. All right, what are you going to do with the verse we just read? What will you do with the verse we read in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, and others that we shall cite in just a moment? What will you do with those? You see, God it is that provided salvation. We do not bring God down to our terms. We bow to his terms. And so his terms are salvation is on the principle of simple faith. Faith in his work. And so in this wonderful chapter, he tells us it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now he tells us a little more about the cross work of Christ. He says, if you were to go right on down the chapter a little further, it says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. And so the truth is that God wrought the greatest possible miracle when he gave his Son, and there he displayed not only the greatest possible miracle, but the greatest possible power that was ever displayed upon the face of the earth. And if you turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the apostle says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks or to the Gentiles. Now, we must come to our last passage because it's so simple and yet right to the very point. Now then, remembering the question, and I'm sure you must all do that, how then can salvation be obtained? Well, will you listen to a passage that's found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and it's well known, I'm sure, it should be to all my hearers today, and this is how it takes place. Verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, It is the gift of God, so that, according to this works, this passage, salvation is without works. Salvation is on the principle of simple faith, faith properly placed in the one and only person who can save. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, you couldn't possibly buy a gift. You cannot work for a gift. You see, if you work for it, it would not be a gift. If you purchased it, it would not be a gift. And did you notice there's one outstanding word? In fact, they're all important, but there's one that's very outstanding, which says, for by grace are ye saved. Now, I want you to take that little word, grace, and just write it down in the form of an acrostic, and I like to use this in connection with it. The word grace, what does it mean? God's riches at Christ's expense. And that really and truly is what salvation is. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, it costs you nothing, but it cost our God all that he had. You see, he had a son, pardon me, an only son, and his name was Jesus, for thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And so God provided his son, his only son. And we say to you that salvation costs you nothing, but it costs God all that he had. And if you put personal faith in that blessed Son whom he sent from heaven, who died upon the cross, who rose again the third day, triumphed over his every foe, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and is now yonder in heaven. And if you would obey the words of the text that were given first of all to the jailer, and tens of thousands have believed it from that time up until the present moment, and he asks, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, I'm confident that the answer, or what we have sought to bring before you today, is the answer in full to question number 2. God grant that you'll trust him for his name's sake. Amen.